All right, if you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter 17. I do count this a privilege. I struggled in preparing for this message because it's one that I've preached before, and I had this little quirk about myself that I felt like if I'm going to preach in chapel, I need to preach something new. But last semester, before I even knew that I'd be preaching this semester, I was just sitting in the back listening to the preaching of one of the chapels, and I thought, you know, this message would be a help to the students. I think it would be a big encouragement to you. I believe, use my spiritual gift with this message. I believe that my spiritual gift is encouragement, and I think this message is more me than maybe ones that I've preached before. And I struggle with it because I thought, well, some have heard it before, some haven't, but then through the course of this semester, different messages specifically, the preacher would say something very specific that I thought, wow, that can't really be a coincidence. And even up and coming through this week with the messages that were preached by the students and by Mr. Beal, it really re-impressed upon my heart that I think this would be an encouragement to you. I think it would be a challenge to you, and I hope it will. But Acts chapter 17 is where we'll be. And I really thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity to speak today. And I want everybody to take a big, deep breath. All right, let it out. Because I did notice he was correct. There's some heavy faces, some heavy eyes, those kind of things. And I don't want to put you to sleep, so I'll try not to. But Acts chapter 17 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them 3 Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and the other, they let them go." Let's pray. Father, as we're here today, I know that many times we can come and it's a tradition, it's a ritual, it's something we do because it's on the schedule. And Lord, I just know that in the last few years that I've been here, You've done so much work in my heart through the chapel time. And Lord, we just ask that through the rest of this semester that we wouldn't take these times for granted, but see that this is the time that You don't take ritualistically, You don't take as just tradition, but You invest in each speaker something that You want to be on our hearts, something that You want us to add to our lives. And I pray that through this message, Lord, the students would be encouraged, excited to serve You, and Lord, that You would just do a work in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I look at the book of Acts, knowing that it's a history of the early church, and I see how Paul and his missionary journeys and others, they went places and they saw God do a work that we think of Pentecost that started the whole thing off, and we think of different times where Paul would preach or Peter would preach, and hundreds, thousands would come to the Lord. And the world was literally being turned upside down, and God was using these men in that way. And I think of times where I just finished reading a book by a missionary named Don Richardson, and I was talking to Pastor Johnson about it last Wednesday, called Lords of the Earth, where some missionaries went into the country of New Guinea, Irian Jaya, and they saw God do a work, and they talked about some of the history of that. And how that at one time, of the 10,000 people they estimated believed there, some 8,000 of them came to know Christ in a very short period of time. And we hear of cities coming to know Christ. We hear of nations and areas in this day of time in the book of Acts just coming to know the Lord. And I say to myself, How come I don't hear of a town in America that was wholly won to the Lord? How come I don't hear of a county that was just saturated with the gospel in our day and time? How come we don't see these things? I don't believe that revival is just something we pray about. I don't believe that revival is something we read about. I think it's something that we can see and that we can experience in our own lives, in the lives of those around us, and in our future ministries and present ministries. I believe that. I'm not going to just pray about it. I want to expect it to happen, and I think it can happen. The difference, I believe, between what happened then and what's happening now is a lack that we have and something that they did have, and that is that they were consumed with Christ. You can't get yourself around the fact that, yes, they were seeing God do things, but it was always because they were consumed with Christ. That was the only thing that they had as a passion in life. That was the only thing that drove them. And we can see that through their writings. Matthew said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." That was his one priority. The Apostle Paul in Colossians said that in all things he might have the preeminence. And then in Romans 11, he says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever." We read in Acts 15 and 26 that these men, all of them, those that were Christ's apostles, hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would like to put ourselves in that category. We would like to say that we would be the ones that would hazard our lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to ask you today, are you that kind of a person? Are you consumed with Christ? Is He your only passion? Is He your driving motivation for why you're here studying for the ministry? I think if He's not, it's going to show in your schoolwork. I think if He is, it's going to show in your schoolwork. What's the passion? I think it'll revolutionize your Saturday or Thursday or Wednesday visitation. If you're consumed with Christ, it's going to mean a whole lot more to you, and there's going to be a whole lot more punch that you're going to pack when you knock on that door, when you talk to that person, when you share the Scriptures with them. And I don't think we're going to ever see God do any work like He did here until we get back to being consumed with the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone being our passion. We find things in this passage about them that's characteristic of a person whose life is consumed with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing we see is a person that is consumed with the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be overflowing. Overflowing with Him. Look what it says in verse 2. "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging." And then later on in the verse he says, "This Jesus whom I preach unto you." They were overflowing with the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached, he reasoned. That's as his manner was. He would go to the synagogue and do that. We can find that in that they were Spirit-filled. We can find this in 1 Thessalonians, where they were in the city of Thessalonica. As he writes back to them, he says in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost." They were filled with the Spirit. That's why there was an effect. The Bible says in Acts 13:52, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." Listen, being consumed with Christ has to do with it having the Spirit in you to a point that it overflows. Acts chapter 5 and verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine," something that controls you, wherein is excess, "but be filled with the Spirit." It ought to be the point that you are so filled with the Holy Spirit of God that you are controlled by Him. That you are so filled with Him that what comes out of you is Him. When I was my very last semester in the dorm, I was a master's student. I was not married yet. And so they put me up in Turnage Hall. And it was the first time anybody had been in Turnage Hall as far as students and everything. And so we were kind of breaking the dorm in. No pun intended. But there were some occupants that weren't students before we got there. I'll get there in a little bit. So, because I was activities director and not really a dorm student, so to say, I had a little bit different rules as far as curfew. My lights out was just an hour later. So one of the things I liked to do because the dorm was quiet was I'd go grab my Bible or whatever else that I had been studying, and I'd go to that front room and sit on that comfortable couch all by myself. I didn't hear anything going on because everybody was in bed. And so I would sit there and I would study and I would read, and I was in my night clothes and all that, and so there I am sitting there, bare feet, and just thinking, and something out of the corner of my eye caught me, and I looked across the room, and And I got up and I looked down on the floor and there was a spider about that big around. Bigger than a half dollar. I mean, it was huge. The body of it was about the size of a nickel. And I'm not a chicken when it comes to bugs, those kind of things. I'm not going to run from them, but I was barefoot and I really didn't want to smash nasty spider guts all over my foot. So I looked around the room and I thought, well, all these nice decorations, I'm not going to take them and, you know, take a couch cushion and beat on a spider with it. I didn't want to do that. So, you know, I mean, I'm running out of time because this spider's not waiting around for me to kill it. And so we hadn't, I don't know what they're called, they're little shelves that you put on the wall. And we hadn't put everything up on the wall yet. There weren't nails that they hung on yet. So it was just sitting there. So I grabbed the little knob that was on it, and I went over to the spider, and I got down, and I smashed it up against the ground. And I thought, yep, I probably got him. So I pulled it up, and when I pulled it up, I looked down at that spider, and hundreds, if not thousands, of little tiny spiders just were coming up out of it and just going all over the place. And I thought, okay, I can't kill them all, and I'm barefoot, and they're coming after me. And so I ran out of the room, and yeah, everybody's supposed to be in bed, and I ran across the hall, I grabbed the vacuum cleaner, I ran back in the room, I plugged the vacuum cleaner in, and I'm vacuuming up all these spiders, hoping that I'm going to get them all. And so then, after that was all done, they were so small and the carpet was, I think it's green, I don't remember anymore, that I couldn't see them all, so I just hoped I got them all. And I thought, I was sat back down on the couch and I picked up my Bible and I was like, this is just not going to work. I thought, you know, where there's one, there's more than one. What if he's on the couch with me? I didn't want to deal with it, so I just said, forget it. So I went and laid in bed. I shut off the light. I laid in bed. And I'm laying there in the bed thinking, there could be another one here. And I'm not going to kill him on my bed, but I really didn't know what to do. But the point is, what was in that spider was what came out of that spider. And somebody said, well, it's not what was in him. It was on him. But that's not what it looked like to me. But I want you to, it's going to apply specifically, what is in a person is what comes out of a person. If you're filled with the Spirit, that's what's going to come out of you. We just got done talking in Pastor Ogle's class about games and how in a game a person's character will come out. The way they respond to a situation is really what's inside of them. That pressure situation brings it out. But no matter what we do, what is inside us is going to come out. And these men were overflowing with the Holy Spirit of God, and they were overflowing with the Scripture of the Lord. It says that Paul opened in the legend that he preached Jesus and he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. That was their pattern. That's what they did. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. He said, that's the only thing that's going to work, so that's the only thing we're going to use. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, they said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And that's true about you too. If you see it and you hear it, you're going to speak it. And these men had spent so much time with the Lord Jesus Christ that they were so consumed with Him that that was what came out. They could not but speak the things that they had seen and heard. When I get done reading a book, or while I'm reading a book, I find that I want to go tell my wife what I just read. And I find that I want to recommend that book to somebody because what God is doing in my life through that. When I see something in God's Word that, you know, He really affects me, I want to take that and I want to help somebody else with it. And, you know, the same thing happens when I watch a basketball game. I want to tell somebody the score. But whatever it is in your life that you're around the most and that you are consumed with the most, that's what's going to be inside of you and that's what's going to come out of you. Don't expect the Holy Spirit to come out if you're not filled with Him. Don't expect Scripture to come out if you're not filling yourself with it. Don't expect Christ to use you in an amazing way if you're not consumed with Him. It's just not going to work. I didn't expect spiders to come out, but I wasn't surprised when I saw it. I didn't expect apples and oranges to come out of that spider, and I don't expect the Holy Spirit or Scripture to come out of you if you're not putting that in. If you're not consumed with Christ, it's just not going to happen. But they were overflowing. The Bible says in Matthew 12 and 34, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. I wonder what's in the abundance of your heart. I wonder what's there. And the Bible also shows us that not only were they overflowing, but they were overthrowing. One of my favorite little phrases in all of Scripture is in Acts 17 and verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. You see, these men of the city, these unsaved individuals were saying, listen, everywhere these men have gone, everything changes. People get saved. Earthquakes happen. People get stoned. All kinds of stuff goes on. They have to kick them out of the city because the whole government changes because people are getting saved and people are saying, hey, we don't have to just serve the King. Yes, we're going to do that, but there is one even more important than Him that our lives must revolve around, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Things were changing tremendously to the point that not only the Christians were saying, hey, something's going on, but the world said, they're turning the world upside down. You know what? I believe that God wants to do those things through each and every one of us. I believe that we can see this whole student body go out as we graduate and as God sends us to places and see God turn the world upside down, because there's more than 12 and there's more than 120 of us in here. And God's not any different now than He was then. And God's intentions now are not any less than they were then. There's more people in the world. The field is still wide unto harvest. There's still people that need to hear the gospel. The only difference is us. We're the ones that haven't spent as much time with the Lord Jesus Christ as they have. We're the ones that haven't been consumed with Christ as much as they are. These men hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was overthrowing. It changed their lives. That's the reason why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. What's changing in your life? What's becoming different? What's becoming powerful in the lives of other people? Are you consumed with the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it, you know what, right now I'm consumed with my girlfriend. You know, it's a visible thing. In Acts 4:13, speaking of Peter and John, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It's an obvious thing when you spend time with the Lord, and it's an obvious thing when you're consumed with Him. It really is. People take notice, and that'll go a long way in helping somebody out when they can tell, hey, this person's on fire for the Lord. You know, if you're consumed with Christ, it is an overthrowing thing in your personal life. When I travel with Neighborhood Bible Time, which, by the way, if you need to learn how to preach, if you need some help in that, that'll be a tremendous help to you. That's the main reason that I went, because I needed some help in that area. And as much as you're going to serve the Lord during that time, it'll help you tremendously. But as I traveled Neighborhood Bible Time, we were able to go to a church. And I'm glad the Lord allowed me to go to this church. It was a semi-large church. And the youth group was kind of split between... There was a lot of homeschool kids that didn't know really anybody but besides themselves, and there was a lot of kids that were kind of, we would maybe call them a fringe group because of their type of personalities and those kind of things, whatever. But there was one individual, he's 14 years old, had an arm, I still remember this, had a broken arm, and it was a bright neon green cast. And this little guy was just, I felt for him because his family, about probably family of four or five, he was the second oldest. His one older sister was a college student. But she had to come home from college. She was going to Bible college, and she had to come home from that because her mother ran off with some guy to Chicago. And so there, you know, their dad is working his job, and she came home to take care of the kids. And so his life has been totally flipped upside down for the negative. But that week I challenged them. I said, as a motivation, you ought to bring kids in, but as a motivation, if anybody can bring 20 kids, I'll buy you a pizza, and that'll be your pizza. That'll be your one pizza. You can have it however you want it, but if you can get 20 kids to come, that'll be your reward. And so that was his goal. He made that as his goal. 14 years old, didn't drive a car, didn't do anything like that, but that's what he made his goal. And so over the time there, they would go and they would knock on doors, and he would invite his friends, and there were times that they had this little short bus that they would take around to the little satellite towns around the one town where the church was located. And when they knocked on the door and they said, hey, where's Johnny? And dad or the older brother or whoever would say, well, Johnny's not here. They went down somewhere else. He'd say, okay. And so they would take off and they would go to where they said that kid was, and they would pull him onto the bus. They would take whoever was with them, and that's what they did. They wouldn't take no for an answer. He was bringing his friends. But you know, I didn't know this until later, but that his goal was to see some of his friends get saved. not just that they would come, but that they would get saved. And you know, his dedication was a challenge. And by the end of that 5-day period, he saw 21 of his kids come, and over 14 of them got saved. But you know what? That's a person, that's a kid, 14 years old, never been to Bible college, but he chose to be consumed with Christ for that week. He could have said, you know what? It's Bible time. I'm here to have fun. I'm going to memorize the verses. I'm going to get the ribbons. I'm going to do whatever. I'll invite some of my friends so I look good. But he said, no, this week is not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can take your life and say, you know what? I'm going to do an okay thing and I'm going to go in the ministry, but it can still be about you. But this life that God has given us is not to be consumed with us or anything else. We need to be consumed with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe God will do as great a things as that, because He said, and greater works shall ye do. Amen. If we're consumed with Christ, we can see God do things like that. And this kid, it wasn't about doubting. It was about, you know what, I'm going to do what I think I can do, and I'm going to go out and trust the Lord that He's going to bring him in. And he knew that he couldn't save him. He wasn't ramming the gospel down their throat. He was just inviting them to come to have a good time and praying that they'd get saved. And God saved them. But that's what God can do with a person who's concerned with Christ, 14 years old or not. You know, if you're consumed with Christ, you're not going to have to worry about touching your girlfriend or boyfriend inappropriately. You're not going to have to worry about watching movies you ought not to watch. You're not going to have to worry about breaking that sin habit that you've had for such a long time. You're not going to have to worry about talking evil about somebody else. You're not going to have to worry about these things. You're not going to have to worry about your school bill. Why? Because you're trusting the Lord with it. You know that God will add all these things unto you if you're seeking His kingdom first. You'll know that. You don't have to worry about those other sins on the peripheral because your focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you're looking at. You know, a person that follows the Lord wholeheartedly, focuses on Him all the time, sin is not even there because their focus is on the Lord. And I believe that we can see God use us, and the power of God can be on our lives if we are consumed with Christ. And I think that's written all over the New Testament. Their lives were overflowing, overthrowing. But lastly, look in verse 10. And the brethren immediately, after they let them go, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. A person whose life is consumed with Christ, their life will be ongoing. You notice, we could go back. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen was stoned. In Acts chapter 9, they sought to kill Paul. In Acts chapter 13, they were persecuted. They were expelled out of the coast of the city. They weren't allowed to come back. In Acts chapter 14, they were assaulted. In Acts chapter 16, a demon girl came unto them and they cast the demon out, and they were jailed because of the problems and the things that were going on through that situation. There was an earthquake. Yes, it was to set them free. But they were able to, through these things, they never complained. They never gave up. They never quit. They never said, you know what, it's just not worth it. They kept going. They kept going. After Berea, they went to Athens. After Athens, they went to Corinth. After Corinth, they went to Ephesus. After Ephesus, they went to Caesarea, Antioch, all Galatia and all Achaia. They went to as many places as they could, wherever the Lord would lead them, and they kept giving the gospel, and they kept being filled with the Spirit. Why? Because they were consumed with the Lord Jesus Christ. They just didn't quit. They just didn't stop. It wasn't about pursuing a championship. It wasn't about pursuing anything else, but accomplishing the will of the Lord. You know, I think the Apostle Paul and some of the verses that he wrote, that God inspired him to write, are a testimony to their drive, to their passion for the Lord. He said in Philippians 3:12-14, not as though I had already attained or were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, one thing, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forth to those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He wasn't going to quit. He pressed. He agonized. He said in Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me. He said, my life has been put to the test. My life has been hanging on the edge. I've been stoned. I've been persecuted. I've been beaten. I've been put in jail. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Why? that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry that I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. That ministry is the same ministry that every single one of us in the room has received. I don't care if you're not going to be a pastor, missionary, or evangelist. You have received the ministry of testifying of the gospel of the grace of God. And you ought to have the same testimony that Paul did for the same reason that Paul did. Because we find in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience, run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus." Why did they not quit? Why were they overflowing? Why were lives of people around them being turned upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ? Because they were consumed with the one who did not quit when things got tough. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that is set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." It wasn't just because of reward that they might receive. It wasn't just because they wanted accolades of men. They didn't want that. But because they looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, who did despise the shame, who did endure the cross, but did not quit through the hole. Because He was consumed with pleasing His Lord. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt that God could take half of this group and turn the world upside down. But I would like to see more than that. I don't want to just pray about it. I don't want to just read about it. I want to see it. Even if I am the one that's just behind in my closet praying about it. I want to see God do it, and I believe He will. But it's going to take us changing some things in our lives. It's going to take us putting some things back in the closet and saying, you know what? That's not helping out here. But being consumed with the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder today, is there something else that's clouding out your being consumed with the Lord Jesus Christ? As Jeremy preached the other day, what about that one needful thing? That's what's going to help you to be consumed with Christ. It's going to help you to be Spirit-filled. It's going to help you to be Scripture-filled. And when God takes a life that's that, it's His baby. He can do with it what He wants to do with it. Are you consumed with Christ?